Everyone, Kareem right here, and today I have Anthony Lejeune, who's a professional footballer who has played with Stomptown AC in the NISA League, and he's currently on trials with another NISA team. But before we dive into that, Anthony, how's it going?
It's been good. It's been really good. I mean, I'm currently in a new location right now. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's pretty nice out here. Like, the weather, I came straight from Canada, so you can imagine right now there's a bunch of snow in Canada. Here in Phoenix, not so much, so it's pretty nice. It's cool to be out here.
Nice. We're wishing you luck out there. Hopefully you sign a new pro contract. Before we dive into that, I just want to mention how I found you. So I was on YouTube. I'm going through some new soccer videos, and I came across your YouTube channel. I'm like, I got to reach out to Anthony. Hopped on Instagram, I reached out to you, and now it's awesome to have you on. So it's a pleasure to have you on, man.
Thanks for having me, bro. I know, like, we've been meeting to do this meeting for a while, but my schedule's been kind of all over the place, and I'm happy that we're able to work it out and get on here and be able to talk. So it's cool.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the trial that you're on right now. How's that going?
So it's been okay, honestly. Like, I've had better trials, if I'm being honest with you. I've had days where I've gone into trials and I've been really confident, you know, and I've gone in there and the coaches right away have known that my quality. This current experience was kind of tough for me a little bit. My first week on, legit my first day, I ended up hurting my right ankle. I twisted my ankle. So when I was training in Canada, we were training on turf pretty much every day, and then I came down here, was on grass, so it was just a little bit of a change for me. And you know, well, even if you're a quality player, sometimes that can, you know, that can affect your play. So, like, legit the first day I hurt my ankle, twisted my ankle, and obviously I'm on a trial, so I don't want to look like a bit soft or whatnot. So I just thug it out. I put my head down, wrapped my ankle, and then just kept training. So as the days gone by, I've been getting more and more confident, more and more better, and showing a little bit of that quality every once in a while. I'm still not at 100%, but my ankle has felt a lot better, and I've been able to play some games with the team, some preseason games. So it's definitely getting better. And I think this week is the week that I find out whether I'm staying or what's happening. So it's still all up in the air, but it's been getting better and better day by day.
Yeah, hopefully you sign that new pro contract. That would be super exciting. And it's a new team. Is it okay if I mention that it's a new team in the NISA League? That's it.
Oh yeah. Well, at this point, I think people might know if we say it's a new team, they'll probably be able to switch it up and see. So yeah, it's a newer team here in the NISA. And it's a good team, though. They have a lot of experienced players on the team, and honestly, the quality and the level of the team. When I first got here, I was like, "Wow, this could be a team that you know, that can definitely compete." So, just exciting things, I guess.
Nice. So, you know, going a little bit back in time, Anthony, how did you get involved into the beautiful game?
So I started playing when I was really, really young. I think when I was 4 years old. And so not a lot of people know, but I was actually born in Florida and my family are from Haiti. And so every summer I would go to Haiti. I travel back home. And whenever I go back home in the summer in Haiti, we'd be playing a lot of soccer. And I think that's when I really fell in love with the game, just growing up through it and just kind of seeing the older guys playing. And so started really young, and I've just played it since I was really, really young. I think my dad influenced me a little bit when I was younger because he used to play soccer as well. And it just became, you know, a big thing for me.
Nice. You mentioned Haiti. For the viewers that haven't been there, what's Haiti like, right? Because you hear Haiti, but people they can't put an image to.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough too, because a lot of times when people hear about Haiti from North America, it's like a poor country. You know, a lot of times people think not a lot of things happen in Haiti. But honestly, for me, whenever I used to visit, it would be the best times of my life. Like, I'd go have a really good time, a lot of really nice people. Once you go to the right places, you know, a lot of beautiful sceneries. A lot of times, once you see Haiti on like TV or you see it on the news, it's talking about the bad things. But I feel like a lot of people don't really get to see the really nice things, you know, all the amazing people that I've met, and amazing family members that are from there. So it's just it's a really good time, honestly.
Nice. Yeah, it's good to hear. So can you like take us on your life path, the journey to pro, right? Because you started playing at 4 years old, and then obviously there was different teams that you played on with in between. If you went to school, mention that, and then, you know, leading up to your first signing.
Right. Okay. So, like I said, I started playing when I was really, really young. Now, I think when I started playing competitively, I was about 13. I think that's when I played on my first competitive team. And it was actually in Scarborough when I played for the team called Scarborough Blizzards in Toronto. Mm. So I moved to Toronto in 2008, and that's when I really wanted to get into soccer. So I started playing competitively there. Before, I was playing just house league, or I was just playing just rec league with some of my friends. I got recruited to play on the Scarborough Blizzards, and that's when I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe this is something that I'd like to do in the future. And then after playing on the Scarborough Blizzards, we ended up moving to Ottawa. So I moved to Ottawa in 2010, and I was really blessed because a lot of the people that were around me, they also shared the same dream. So they wanted to be pro, or they wanted to play at the highest level possible. So moved to Ottawa in 2010. I started playing for a local club called Ottawa Royals. It wasn't the highest level you could play, but at the time, I wasn't the best player at the time. So I got there playing at Ottawa Royals. I think the first year was in 2015 or 2014 when I joined Ottawa Fury. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the club. But they used to play in the USL and also NASL. And so that was my very first competitive travel team. So we would travel into the States a lot. And during that time was when I really, really wanted to, you know, travel and be a pro, because like I told you, I was blessed. A lot of the people that were around me, they all shared the same dream. You know, they all wanted to be professional. So I remember even while I was training with Ottawa Fury, playing with the team, I had a couple of my boys that we would train with every single day. We do double days. And so we really, really trained and grinded out throughout those 2 years that I played with the Fury. So played with the Fury. And then from the Ottawa Fury, I mean, I think I was one of the first few academy players to start training with the NSL team. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the NSL league, but it was a professional league before that was probably considered as a second division, but a lot of really quality players.
What is this?
National Association Soccer League. So it was like there was MLS, and then there was NASL, and then there was USL. Wow. So there were a lot of really good quality players that league.
Do you know what happened to that league? Because, you know, now we have USL Championship, which is Division 2, and then USL 1, which is Division 3. So what happened to NASL?
Right. I'm not sure what happened. I guess they kind of just ended the league. I don't know what happened, because during the time I was young, I was still 17 or 18, and I never played any games, but I was training with the first team, with the Ottawa Fury first team while I was playing with the academy. And so I got a pleasure to meet a lot of those guys and a lot of quality players. So I'm not sure what happened to that league. I think it just died out, but it was definitely a top league for people around in the area. And so that was a huge experience. And I think that was one of like my first actual pro experiences, you know, where I got to see pro players, how they play, how they train, and basically how they live. And it was a great experience. And from there, I ended up going off to France. So me and my close friend were like, you know what, let's go to France. Let's try and leave and see what happens, you know, chase the dream. But at the time I was 17 and 18, I didn't realize all the things, all the politics and visas and all the things you need in order to go, you know, to Europe to play. And so it kind of hit us hard because we left everything that we had behind here in Ottawa at the time. And then it wasn't successful, obviously. Ended up going back home. And when I got back home, I was like, well, what are my next steps going to be? And I'm 18 at the time. And then that's when OPSM was about to start. And so one of my really close friends, Godwin, who is the OPSM agent now. So I used to play with his younger brother. And then he started up OPSM and told me, you know what, maybe it'd be a good route for you to go to school. So then I was like, you know what, yeah, let me go into school, play for 2 years, and then go from there and try and, you know, chase that professional contract. So I played at a school in Ottawa called Algonquin College. It was, at the time, I think, one of the best teams that you could play on in the division. So I played for them. I had a really, really successful rookie year. I got rookie of the year. I made the all-star team. And it was just a really good experience for me to be able to flourish and get better and better. You know, you could see all the time that I spent training or all the time that I spent putting into soccer really, really improved my game. So first year was good. Second year as well, we made to nationals both years. So it was a good experience. And then from there, that's when I guess I signed my first professional contract. I went over to New Zealand and I played in the first division. And so a lot of times soccer players don't, people who are outside looking into soccer players, they don't see how much of a turbulence like the soccer career is. So I signed my first pro contract in New Zealand in 2018. So I left, I didn't even finish my year of college. I left during my second semester and I was like, you know what, maybe it's good for me to go experience new things, travel all the way across the world to New Zealand. You can imagine they're like 17 hours ahead. So it took like a 35-hour, like a total of like plane trip from Ottawa, went all the way to New Zealand, and then started playing in the first division there. Now, so I'm an American citizen. I have an American passport, but I lived in Canada at the time. And so the visa that we had applied for, it got mixed up for some reason because I gave a Canadian address with an American passport. So they were just kind of confused. So they ended up letting me into the country. We figured out that, you know, they were just trying to work on my visa. So then everything was going good. The team set me up. I had a host family that I was staying with. Everything was going really, really well. And then things hit the wall. So immigration contacted me and told me that basically during the time that I was there, I had overstayed a couple of days and my visa wasn't approved. So you could imagine I'm in New Zealand and I stayed overstayed a couple of days and I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, I don't want to go back home. I'm not ready because I came all this way. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stick around here. And the closest place to New Zealand at the time was Australia. And so I had a couple good friends who were playing in the Australian Second Division League. And I was like, let me just go there and then just really try and push and see what happens from there. So I ended up going from New Zealand to Australia. So Australia, first couple of weeks were really, really tough. I didn't have a place to stay. So a lot of times I'd be staying in hotels or hostels and basically just really try and grind it out because I didn't have a club. You know, imagine I had a really good setup in New Zealand and then everything just kind of ended. So went to Australia first couple months. Like I said, first couple weeks were really, really tough. And then ended up finding a club there that was in the second division. And the manager at the time, he was really interested in helping me. So he really helped me. He started finding for me for a place to stay, started helping me a little bit. Now, same thing with Australia. For if you obviously want to go play overseas and you don't have, you know, that passport of that country, you need a visa, right? So the only amount of time I could spend there was 3 months. So I spent 3 months in Australia, played a couple games towards the end of the season. And then this was around August time of 2018 when it was time for me to go back home. So I went back home, I recuperated. And then about this time, OPSM started gaining more connections and having more contacts to different levels and different teams. And so I played. After playing in Australia, I went back home. The club that I was training for, it was called South Hobart FC. They wanted me to come back for the 2019 season. So I think around November time, they wanted me to come into the preseason. So I was like, you know what, let me go. I'll go into preseason, leave to Australia, and basically do preseason with them. So I did that. So around 2018, November time, I'm in Australia during preseason with this team, traveling into Melbourne. It was going really, really good. I was fit at the time. I was training a lot every single day. But one thing that was really tough for me was being away from my family for so long, you know, because I had been already away for so long, for 6 months, and then leaving at a time like during my birthday. So my birthday was in Australia. Also, I missed Christmas that year with my family. And, you know, it's so important to be with family. So it was tough. Like the soccer was good, but it was really, really tough to be far away from my family. Yeah. And so in 2019, I was planning on playing with South Hobart in the second division. But that's when my agent called me, Godwin called me, and Jeff called me. They told me, you have a chance to play in the USL, USL Championship. If you want to come on trial, you can come on trial in Tulsa. So I flew from Australia.
Wait, Anthony, wait. I just want to track back a little bit before we go too far
off
to the USL. You went to New Zealand, and you had a visa issue, which is crazy because you had, as you mentioned, a nice setup over there. So did you have a contract with the first team in New Zealand?
Yeah, so that was my first pro contract that I signed. I had a contract with them for me to play there for the whole season. So I was meant to be there for 12 months or 9 months, however long the season was going to go on. So I had that contract. But with New Zealand, they have really, really strict guidelines with their tourists and their travel visa. So in order for me to stay that long, I needed a certain type of visa for me to go there. Do you understand what I mean? And the whole time where I thought it was being processed, it actually got denied because I sent my American passport with a Canadian address. So they were just kind of confused. And so ended up getting denied, which was kind of crazy, which happens a lot. It happens a lot of times through soccer players in their careers. So I did have a contract with them. And so that's why the club, they did everything to try and help me stay, but I couldn't stay. And then they helped me go to Australia. And so that's when I ended up in Australia, basically.
Got it. I mean, visas are a headache. They take long. It's a long process. I faced the visa issue in England and France, so I definitely know the experience and problem. With saying that, did you get into any trouble, or you know, when the immigration called you and said, "Hey, you overstayed, and you have to leave the country"? What was that process like?
Yeah. So basically, I didn't get in any trouble, but like I said, New Zealand, they're really strict about the rules about having players coming in or having tourists and people coming from outside of the country to live into New Zealand. I didn't get in any trouble, but I overstayed a couple days, not realizing that my visa was up. And so basically my original plan was to come back into New Zealand and to play with the club that I had originally signed with. But when I left, since I had originally overstayed a couple days, they didn't let me come back. They wouldn't let me come back into New Zealand. You know what I mean? Like if I tried to fly back in or if I tried to reapply, they wouldn't have accepted me. So not necessarily that I got in trouble, but it closed off the door to New Zealand for me for at least that year for me to go back and play because they had denied my visa.
Yeah, got it. Okay. That's good that you didn't get in any trouble. I know sometimes these countries, they could get a little hectic with those type of things.
Yeah. Yeah, some people get deported even, bro. It's crazy.
Yeah, mad thing. So you went from New Zealand, you went to Australia, and then in Australia, you said you were doing like a whole bunch of jumping around. You weren't in a stable position in Australia, but I'm assuming here that you gained a lot of experience and knowledge from Australia.
Yeah, I did. I gained a lot, bro. Like it just goes to show you that how hard it is to really make it. You know, I learned so much about not only myself, but about other people as well. I made so many different connections, met a bunch of different new people while I was in Australia because I was really trying to connect with as many people as I could. And the city that I was in was Hobart, a really small city. So a lot of people knows everyone. And the soccer isn't the best there, but it's a good platform for people to step up, to go to the next level. You know what I mean? So I learned a lot during the time that I was there. And like I told you, it was tough. It was tough because I wasn't settled. So I didn't know where I was going to. Some nights I didn't know where I would stay, where I would sleep. So until finding that club to help me out. And that's basically, you know, like how it is for most people. And I think it really, really helped me, you know, how I was talking about going from Australia then to Tulsa. It really, really helped me because it made me realize how bad I wanted to be a pro, made me realize how bad I wanted to get to that next level. And so going through all that, it definitely wasn't easy and it helped me a lot.
Got it. Shout out to the guys at OPSM Pro. We did an interview with them. You guys.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Who did you Jeff. Interview? Oh, Jeff. When did you do the interview with him?
Maybe last month.
Okay. Yeah. Jeff. I speak with Jeff. Jeff is like my older brother. I speak with him every day. Godwin is my agent. But they're like my older bros. So I've known them for a while, and I actually played with Jeff at the Ottawa Fury. That's how we met. So basically, yeah. So imagine, I think at the story, what were we caught up to? We're in Australia, right?
No,
we're in Australia. So we're in Tulsa, but from Australia. So 2019, actually, Jeff and Godwin, they were both the ones who helped me. They funded my flight from Australia all the way to Tulsa. So I got to Tulsa, and then I was staying with Jeff at the time because he had signed to the team. He was on the team. So he came to pick me up from the airport, brought me to his house and whatever. And going into that trial, bro, like the things that I went through in Australia, like now that I think about it from now, my experience, what I think about it is like going from Australia to Tulsa, I didn't have anything else in my head. Like when I think about it now, there was no backup plan. There was no, like, it was like, I'm going for trial in this team and I'm going to make the team. There was no, like, you know, and I think about it now and I'm like, well, it was kind of crazy because I didn't even have like another opportunity or nothing. Like there was nowhere else that I could have gone. So I went there, went to Tulsa on trial. And after 3 days, I think the coach was really impressed because I don't know what it was, but I don't know if you've ever had those situations where sometimes you'll do things or you play a certain way and you're kind of like, whoa, like you didn't think you could do this type of stuff, right? So I'm guessing, you know, all the times that I really struggled in Australia, it just really, really made me hungry, you know? So I went into Tulsa. I went into the trials very hungry, aggressive, you know, good on the ball. And I think after 3 days, the coach wanted to sign me. They were really interested in me. And so at the time, it was my first pro contract in America. And so I was getting signed as a second left back. So like, I wasn't expecting to play much, but the coach really liked me. He liked the energy and he liked that the guys got along well with me. He liked that I fit in the team. And so basically when I went there, I was supposed to be the second left back, but going into the season, I think the first left back, he got hurt and injured. And so I played, I think I played throughout my whole season that year. I played 14 games. And so I was really nervous, like going into my first year, but for some reason I just like, it never really affected me on the field, you know? And so I ended up playing really well. We didn't have the best year with Tulsa that year. You know, the team didn't do as well as we wanted it to be. And so that was my first, I guess, year playing as a pro in America, like officially. So,
Nice. You mentioned a really powerful mind state of just being only focused on that one goal, and like there was no other distractions or anything else that was going on in your mind. So that's super powerful.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing. And too, like a lot of younger soccer players, you know, for the younger soccer players who are listening to this and who are listening, the mental aspect plays such a huge part on your career. Because mentally, another thing that killed me in the USL 2019 was I wasn't consistently focused. You know, like when I got there, it was like I got there. You know what I'm saying? So all the work that I've done before, I didn't continue that work, or I got distracted, or I was doing different things. Because once you start living that life, like it was my first year as a pro, we traveled with the team. I got to see so many different places, got to do so many different things. You know, but I feel like my focus, my mental strength could have been a lot better during that year. And who knows, like maybe I might have stayed in the USL championship, you know, and continue to play there. So a lot of times, like younger players, they overlook the mental aspect part of the game. You know what I mean?
That's pretty interesting that you mentioned that, right? Like you know, thinking or looking out to the inside as an outsider, you would assume, me speaking, that, you know, a club would help with the player and keeping that player disciplined. But it seems that if you get that lifestyle change, and there's it's up to the player to keep that discipline. That's interesting. I don't know how it is now, but has it changed? Like, are the teams more on top of players now, or is it the same?
No, it's still the same, because you got to think about it. Once you sign a pro contract, right, we're all men. So even if you're a younger player playing, you're still men. Like maybe younger players, you know, if they're 16, 17, 18, they're getting more guidance, but we're all men, right? So you have to be able to take care of yourself, right? You have to be able to know what's going to benefit you in your games, in your training. So they don't really do much to stay on top of you. Whereas like they'll take care of you on the field, right? They'll have your recovery sessions. They'll have all that types of stuff for you once you come into work, right? But then it's what you do outside of work, right? They can't babysit players who are playing in that level and making sure that you're not going out every day or you're not getting into bad things. You know what I mean? So it's really up to you. And it's still the same. Obviously, it's tough for people to go from playing at a certain level to then go into the pro level. For me, I never really got that, like, whoa, like, I can't believe I made it this far. But I could imagine players who go to the MLS or players who go to, you know, Division I clubs in Europe, like, the lifestyle gets kind of crazy, you know, and mentally you can easily forget and get distracted. So
100%. That's a great point that I haven't come across yet in the interview, and it's the first time. So, you know, thank you for sharing that, and that was awesome. So, Anthony, just share with us, like, how did it feel? Like, you're signing your first pro contract, like, this is the dream, and you achieved it. So how did it feel for you?
It felt amazing. It felt really, really good. I remember I had the contract in my hand, and I went to the change room. And another thing, too, the guys that I met that year were amazing. Like, they really helped me. They guided me. Because when I came into the trials, I told you I was so focused. You know, I was like, yo, we're already doing two-a-days, like, training twice a day with our team. I was like, I'm going to do three-a-days. Like, that's how, like, I wanted to, like, go so hard, you know? And the guys were like, no, bro, like, chill out. Like, you can't be doing three-a-days. You're like, your body's going to get tired. You know, you have to rest. Like, you're already working hard enough, you know? But that's how, like, the mentality that I had when I got there. You know what I mean? And so I was like, oh, I'm going to do three-a-days. I'm going to do that. So some of the guys guided me, and I remember I went into the locker room and I had my contract, and then the guys were like, is that your contract? I was like, yeah. They're all like hyping me up, you know, like getting me excited and stuff. And it just felt really good. It honestly felt like there was a big, like weight lifted off my shoulders, you know. It felt amazing. But I think the most amazing experience that I had that year was when I played my first game. So, my first game, I came off the bench, which what happened was we're in Orange County, so we're in LA. My first time in LA, Orange County, nice weather, amazing people, a lot of things to see. And so we're down 2-1 going into half. And I remember, like, I was just juggling with the ball, kicking the ball, just like kind of nervous, but also relaxed at the same time. And then I remember the coach came up to me and was like, don't come in the change room because you're going on. And I remember I was just like I was nervous, but at the same time, like, I was like excited. It's like a weird feeling. Like, I was like nervous, but so excited at the same time. And then I was like, okay. So then second half came on and I was getting ready to sub in, you know, I'm walking up to the half and I couldn't believe, like, the whole time, like, I'm about to come in. But I was still focused. And so as I'm about to go in, like, I hear people yelling, go Anthony, like, yelling. And I'm like, what? Like, I don't even, at the time I'm in Orange County, I'm like, I don't know anyone here. Like, who could know me? Who could be yelling my name? And so, like, I turn around, and you obviously know Matt Sheldon, right? You know Matt Sheldon.
Yeah. Matt Sheldon.
Yeah. So, Mimi, like, his wife now, I look around and I see Mimi and her parents just, like, yelling and cheering me on. And I'm like, wow, like, this is cool. So, like, I run into the field, and then we were down 2-1. And then we ended up, like, the team started playing really well. I was playing at the left back position. I did well, and we ended up winning 5-2 or 5-3. Like, the game finished 5-2, 5-3. And so we ended up winning. Like, we went down from a 2-1 loss to then winning. And I remember I was so, like, excited, like, in the change room after. Everyone was super excited. And it was just, like, one of the best memories that I've had. And even just being in Orange County in LA at the time, it was just a crazy experience, you know. So that's basically, those were, like, 2019, those were my highs, where it was like, wow, this is amazing. That, and then also when we played New Mexico, we lost 2-1, but when they scored against us, they had like 13,000 people in the fans. Wow. And when New Mexico scored against us, it was like, I was like shocked. It was so loud and here, everything, like, so, like, around me. And the goal was against us, but it was just like, wow, like, kind of stunning
energy, right?
You know? Yeah, the energy was sick. So it was a good experience, honestly. Throughout the 2019, I learned a lot. And I think the biggest thing that I took from 2019 was, like, the intensity of everyday training. You know, like, you're coming in, it's a battle, but, like, there was, so I couldn't even tell you how many fights there were that year. Like, not even like fights where people are throwing hands or like getting mad, but like on the field, you know, it's intense. Like you're coming in and you want to win. You know, one thing that I took from that year was just like the intensity in training. Every time you play, you want to win, you know, you want to grind it out. So that was basically my first year as a pro in 2019.
Sounds exciting, man. You mentioned Matt Sheldon. Are you still connected with him?
Yeah, that's my guy. I talk to him every once in a while. I actually, this past offseason, I went to his wedding. And it was pretty fun. Yeah, it was cool. Like, he had his wedding in San Diego, so I went with him, went to see him. And then last year, I did, I had a preseason with him. He brought me down to Portland, so I lived with him for a couple of weeks. But yeah, that's the guy, Matt Sheldon.
Yeah, I've watched, like, even before I started doing interviews, I've watched a couple of his videos in the past, and then... I did an interview before he moved to his new team with Burke, and I asked him, I reached out to Burke because I seen Burke in a video with him, and then now I'm gonna ask you if you can reach out to him too.
I got you. I can reach out to him, bro. If you can get Matt on the podcast, that's the guy you'd want to get. You know, that's the guy that's inspired me to start my YouTube, and he's the guy that's helped me a lot. You know, throughout my YouTube and obviously. In my life, he's a guy, bro.
Nice. No, a lot of players look up to Matt and look up to you. So, what advice would you give to players that want to go pro?
I would say a couple things that I could say honestly is first thing obviously is to make sure you're working hard. You know, if you're doing the right things, you're working hard. Improve on those things. Work on your weaknesses, but also work on your strengths. You know. For instance, my weaknesses are my athleticism. So those are the things that I really need to focus on to work on. My strengths are probably my technical ability. Now, you also want to be working on your strengths because we're never going to be perfect, right? So you want to make sure you're working on your weaknesses, but also working on your strength, all right, just to get better. And the second thing I would say is honestly be patient because for me, like I was chasing that pro contract. I went to New Zealand. I went to Australia. I went to France. I went to so many different places. And I guess it seemed like it never worked out for me in those places until it was really time for me to be that pro. You get what I'm saying? So patience is a virtue. If you're doing the right things and you're being patient, your time will come, you know? And then also obviously networking, connecting with people. Obviously something like this is amazing. Like I met you now, you know, you make different connections. You can touch different people. Connect to different coaches, different players, and just really get yourself out there, you know, because soccer is all about networks and connections, right? So those are the things that I would say.
100% great points. How old were you back in 2019 with, you know, signing your first professional contract?
I was 22.
22. And that's 22 is pretty late.
Yeah, 22. So this is the thing. This is my thing. So I'll tell you what it is. So in North America, if you think about it, 22 is not late, because in North America, if we're talking about North America, a lot of players, what do? They go to school, right? They go to school from when they're 18.
Yeah.
They'll do 4 years or whatever. They'll do university, especially in America, because people can get drafted. So they'll do a maximum of 4 years in university, correct? So if you're 18 and then you turn 22, right? 4 years, 4 years later, a lot of times, if you look at it, most professional soccer players in America, they'll sign when they're 22, 23, 24. It's like after their college careers, you know what I mean? So it's late in North America, but obviously in Europe, that's pretty late, you know?
Yeah, got it. Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense when you put it that way. So I guess it's the European taking over in my mind then. And
it has to, bro. Because, you know, European football, bro, there's nothing like it, obviously. You know?
It's still good for 22. Like, I'm about to train 22. This year, so like that's it's always motivational. Like when I hear people say they signed at 22 or 23 or 25, it's motivational for my you know, not only for myself but for other people that are that age that come across our YouTube channel and watch our content. So that's awesome. And then leading towards the end here, you know, what's your most memorable soccer moment in your life?
My most memorable soccer moment?
Oh, and I forgot to mention, because I seen this on Instagram. Sorry, I know.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah.
You know, you're friends with Alfonso Davis too.
Yeah. Oh, well, not really friends, but I got to meet him.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. Sorry. We'll
say. No. Ask the question though. No. So this is the thing. So last year I played in the USL too. And so, I mean, I kind of missed the whole year of 2020 during my career. Do you want me to cover 2020 or do you want me to,
skip a little bit? I have to go in like three minutes.
Okay. So sounds good.
Long story short.
Okay. Let's make a long story short. 2020, I didn't play because of the COVID year. I was in America. I was on trial with a couple clubs. Boom, had to go back home because of COVID. So didn't play in 2020. So I spent the whole year not playing. During that time, a lot of things happened outside of footy. A lot of things happened. Okay. So then Matt comes in 2021 and he's like, yo, come to Portland, come train with me, da 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 da. So I go from Canada, from not playing, not doing anything, always on lockdown, quarantining. Matt brings me in, train with him, do a lot of YouTube videos with him. He helps my channel grow, helps me with a lot of networking stuff, and then started playing USL2. So then I signed with a USL2 team through OPSM. And then on that team, one of my close friends now, his name's Abraham Dukley, he was good friends with Alfonso Davies, like boys since growing up. And so during our season, Alfonso had a game in Chicago.
You said was or still is?
There still is. They're boys. Yeah, okay. They're really good friends. Okay. And so like they play in the academy together. So then Alfonso had a game in Chicago, and then we were in South Bend, which was only like an hour away from Chicago. And he was like, yo, would you guys want to meet Alfonso Davies? I was like, what? I was like, yeah, for sure, bro. So then we went on one of our day offs, and we met Alfonso Davies. So like I met him, like we had lunch together, really cool guy. I challenged him to two touch. And so I don't know, hopefully I can play him in the future in two touch and I can beat him. So that's how I basically met Alfonso Davies. Yeah.
I've seen it on Instagram. I want to ask you about it. And you know what? After this interview later on, I'm going to go through your YouTube channel more and like look at what you guys did. Because you mentioned Matt helped you with the networking and then you obviously did your thing. So that's cool. And you know what? Something just happened to me. I'm noticing that Matt's connected to OPSM. You're connected to OPSM and then OPSM is a whole network. So that's, I just got
connected.
But yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome to connect with you because, you know, I'm connected with OPSM, connected to you now, so it's cool. But yeah, going back to my last question, sorry, what's your most memorable soccer moment?
My most memorable soccer moment, I think I told you it already. I kind of went off topic a little bit, but was probably my first professional win was in Orange County playing in front of when we played against Real Monarchs. I started and played 90 minutes in front of like 15,000 fans, which was pretty cool. And I think those are probably my most memorable moments, you know?
Nice. Okay, well, we'll just leave it here to the last 10 fun questions and then that'll be it.
Yeah, sorry. I kind of went on and babbled a little bit. I didn't know you were on a time crunch.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't mention that. I'm usually not. It's just I have some other things I got to take care of.
No worries.
Okay, so they're just like 10 fun questions. They're like speed questions.
Okay.
So you got to answer them super duper fast. So we'll try to like flash through them.
All right, I'm ready.
Let's do it. Okay, who's your favorite team?
Arsenal.
Favorite player?
Mesut Ozil.
Favorite cleats?
Oh, I'm a Puma guy now. I like Puma Ultras now. But originally Adidas.
Listen,
F50 Adizeros. F50 Adizeros, my favorite. Right now, I like Pumas.
There you go. Favorite artist?
Rod Wave.
Ready. Messi or Ronaldo?
Messi, 100%.
Let's just say me and you, we're about to play FIFA. We got like 10K on the line. Who's your go-to team?
Dortmund. Borussia Dortmund.
Nice. Two goals in a game or one goal and one assist?
One goal, one assist.
Last two, would you rather score a free kick or a PK last minute goal?
Oh, free kick, 100%.
If you were a coach and you were able to sub in any player in history, alive or not alive, who would that be?
Oh, I would be Ronaldinho.
Ronaldinho, yes, sir, ski. Anthony, before we go, I just want to thank you for taking the time for joining us on the One Soccer Nation podcast today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me, bro.